Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. It's been really good to spend some time in the book of Joshua and to spend some time with quite an amazing man of God. The way that he steps up for the task after Moses died is a real inspiration. And we certainly need Joshuas today, people who, when for whatever reason someone is unable to carry on, that there are people in place to actually step in and do the work of God. One of the most significant things in the life of Joshua was the Battle of Jericho. It's probably the most famous of all the battles that he was involved in. But there are some important principles that we do need to reflect on concerning this event. The first thing is that Joshua, as a military tactician, he sent spies into the land just to see exactly what was going on. In this sense, it's a fairly general military strategy. You wouldn't think there was anything particularly unusual about that. But it is unusual and it is important because the spies get into a spot of bother. And in their difficulty, a lady called Rahab helps them out and she protects them. And basically they're able to be safe from people who are hunting and moving around, knowing that there's some infiltrators in the land. But she is going to be protected herself, because when victory comes and when Jericho is going to be destroyed and when its inhabitants are going to be destroyed, Rahab is going to be safe. So sending in the spies not only gave some valuable information for the battle that was to come, but it ended up as an amazing opportunity for a lady who, as far as we know, was a prostitute and therefore in a lifestyle very displeasing to God. But she's going to be saved. She's going to be delivered when the battle comes. Now, where the battle itself is going to begin, here is when a strategy is adopted that would not be in any military textbook. The idea of sending in spies, reconnoitre, would be fairly commonplace. But Joshua is given an absolutely fantastic, amazing, strange strategy. He's told, I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you're to march around seven times. Well, that is not anything that you would read in How to Take a City. But in fact, what happens is that he obeys God and he sets up the army and they march around the city. Now, the people of Jericho, they are very, very frightened. Maybe not because of the number of people that are in the Israelite army, but they've heard stories about this people, the Red Sea opened up for them. This people have just come across the Jordan. And so they're very nervous and very apprehensive as to what's going to go on. But Joshua follows the strategy and he's very obedient. And on the seventh day, the seventh time round, they let out a mighty shout. And at that shout, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. A great victory is won, and the people are going to make some progress. We're going to pause there. My good friend Patrick will join me in a moment after some worship, and we'll reflect a little further on the Battle of Jericho.
We have the key and we have victory on our side. God is our captain and he will be our guide. We have the cross of Jesus.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about this very well-known story of the fall of Jericho and what came before it. So, Richard, first of all, give us a little bit of background on Israel's reputation at this time, because they were clearly beginning to be seen as a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, I mean, that's true, because although they had nowhere near the means of communication we have today, the news had travelled. This people that were moving into the land of Canaan had an agenda. They were there to take over. They were there to dominate, to get rid of all sorts of things that were going on in the land, and they were to bring their faith and their commitment to the living God to have an impact upon the area. So stories of crossing the Red Sea, stories of the plagues in Egypt, they would be very strongly on the minds of people like the people of Jericho.
And they would be fearful of how it was going to affect them.
Very much so. They really would have wondered what's happening next for us.
Yeah. So we have this story then of the spies going in and meeting Rahab, who is a prostitute. But it turns out that Rahab is rewarded for what she has done, and she has quite a significant place in the overall history of Israel as a result of this. But she was a prostitute. So what does that tell us about God's understanding of a person in her position, if you like?
Well, I think it certainly shows us that God hates sin and loves sinners, and that's a very important distinction. And although we don't know, I think that we have to consider how much was Rahab a willing prostitute, and how much was she a reluctant prostitute? Was she in it just for the money? I just don't get that impression, because she's got a heart for God. She's aware of things, and that's quite unusual. She had a good awareness of what had been going on. And when these men, these spies, come into the house, she's not learning loads of things for the first time. Mm. It seems that there was already some sort of background. So in this woman's heart, it seems there was a longing for God. She wasn't enjoying her sin, and she was willing to turn from it.
In a way, we shouldn't be surprised at that, because today, as we look around the world and in many of the world's trouble spots, forced prostitution is quite common.
It certainly is. And I know you're not suggesting that all prostitution is forced, but certainly there is that element. And in that situation, I think we do need to have compassion.
So they then march around Jericho in this strange procession, going around seven times and 7 days. Is there some significance that we need to be aware of the fact that it was seven? Because that's a significant number in the Bible, isn't it?
Yes, it is the perfect number. And having marched around once every day for 6 days, the seventh day, they must have been pretty tired at the end of going around seven times. But I believe that it's a statement. It's a strong statement. We are here, and we're not here. This isn't a holiday. This isn't a careless activity. This activity springs from obedience to God. God's told us to do this. Now, the great shout at the end, well, at that moment, God releases something. We don't know what, but those walls fall down. And they were very formidable walls.
So at the end of the day, it must have been more than simply a shout, more than simply marching around the city for 7 days. There was a miraculous element to this.
Yes, I believe very much so. God steps in. He honours the obedience of his people. And the shout of praise, again, is most significant, because the walls fall down after they shout. Now, for us, we often shout when something's happened.
Right.
But they had to shout before anything happened. And that's a very significant faith factor in this story.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.